Okay. Now do it out loud so that I just, you don't normally do this in front of people. It's the only way I can demonstrate to you how it's done. Okay? There are five people. Okay, let's go at it quickly. Come on. You stand out here and let them look her right in the face. Look, and they say when you're blessing a person, it's good to put your hand on them if it's appropriate. And I think it'd be appropriate here. Just put your hand at them and look them in the face and be sincere and earnest. Okay, let's go.
Julie, you're filled with more joy than anyone I know.
Julie, you're the sweetest, most loving person I have ever met. Julie, you are the coolest thing in all of Holy Spirit.
Julie, you're a joy blessed. Julie, you're a caring servant.
Okay. Did that mean a lot to you?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much. It's that simple. Now listen, I want to have a little fun. When I give this third grade arithmetic problem to adults, this is a trading problem. And this is the third grade arithmetic problem. I come up with between 5 and 7 answers. I hope you can do better. In fact, the best group to do it was a group of junior hires. Their minds hadn't been complicated yet. So, pay close attention, and everybody's going to get a chance to express an answer. One. A man bought a horse for $8. And he kept the horse for a good while, but the horse, you know how they are, they're kind of expensive. And so, he thought, I'm going to sell the horse. So he sold the horse, and he sold the horse for $10. Well, when he'd had the horse, he'd made real good friends with the horse. And he missed his horse real bad. I mean, real bad. The more he thought about it, the more he thought, I'd like to have my horse back. So he went to see the man that he sold the horse to and said, I'd like to buy my horse back. The man said, fine. And you can have it back for $12. Well, he kept the horse for a while. And if you heard anything about horses, vet fees, feed, all expensive, you know, kind of expensive. And wife was putting a lot of pressure on him. Quit spending money on the horse, buy her some new furniture. So after he got a lot of pressure put on him, decided to sell a horse. And he sold the horse for $14. Now, here's my question to you. Hit it again. Thank you. Good. How did he make out on horse trading? Did he make money? If so, how much? Did he lose money? If so, how much? Or did he come out even? Now don't talk to anybody. Get an answer. Y'all ready? I'm going to call her one of the blessed people.
No. Oh, no.
What do you think?
I think you made $6.
Made $6, okay? Everybody agrees with him, hold up your hands. Okay, you haven't got very many people voting with you, brother.
I'm not
okay, but you could be right, the majority. What about you?
Oh,
She said, I think he lost two. Everybody agrees with her, hold up your hands. Okay, you got one body. Don't be ashamed, okay? Good. Now look, hey, we've already got two answers on a third grade arithmetic problem. I want to show you all, you ain't quite as smart as, you know, hey. Listen, this is a concrete thing. What did you come up with?
I have no idea. He broke even.
Broke even, okay? Everybody that thinks that, hold up your hand. My. What do you think?
Made
$4, let me see. Good. Okay, hold your hands out. Any other answer?
Made
$2. Everybody think he made two? Hold up your hands. Now look, an intelligent group of university students have come up with 5 different answers. Now look, you got enough sense to know there can only be one right answer. Now let me ask you something. If in third grade arithmetic you can't get the right answer, what about in the more complicated things in life? That's why you need to talk to God. Maybe at the end I'll tell you what the right answer is. But see, if I told you what the right answer and some of you got it right, you'd get proud. Okay, good. Now, I love to use this because this always turns out like this. And it's really very simple. It's so simple. Hey, that's concrete stuff. Okay, let's move on. Now, I really asked the Lord during the break. I've got three major directions I'd like to go in. The disciples came to Jesus and said to them one time, teach us how to pray. And he said, I'd be glad to. Now look, first grade praying is the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11:1-13. Now, let me ask you a question. Look this way a minute. Do you know what an avocado is? Do you know what an avocado is? Okay, good. Now look, let me ask you a question. How many seeds are there in an avocado? Now I want to ask you a question. How many avocados are there in a seed? Let me tell you. Years ago, and the reason I'm telling you this, I'm a seed planter. If you can get the seed I'm talking about this morning inside of you and growing, this is what will happen to you. Years ago, somebody gave us an avocado, and we ate the avocado, and my wife took the seed, stuck 4 toothpicks in it, and put over a glass of water, began to grow. I took it outside when it got too big for the house and planted it. Now, at first, I didn't take care of it, so it was frozen back to the ground 5 times. This year, it's 25 feet tall. It had between 500 and 600 avocados on it, that big. Now, look. You can enjoy a sermon like eating an avocado, but the important part in a sermon or a lecture is the truth. And if you can get the truth of prayer in your heart, get the truth of prayer in your heart, you'll have more harvest than you can shake a stick at. I'm from the West Indies. All the Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Jamaicans love avocados. The squirrels like them too. Everybody had all they could eat this year. We picked avocados in September, October, November, January, and the last one fell off the last week in February. The first hurricane that came through blew off 80, the next one blew off 100. And I'm just trying to show you. You see, the parable of the sower, God plants seeds, but you have to nurture them. And if you nurture the seed of prayer, I can't do this for you. You don't even have to put it in your heart. You can do what most people do with seeds, throw them away, rather than realize the potential in a seed. Now, before I get into what I want to do today, I want to talk to you about the two main purposes in prayer. Number one, look, to have fellowship with God. Look, let me just say this to you. Love on God, and what I mean by that is receive his love and return it, and he'll give you more than you got sense to ask for. The purpose of prayer is not to get stuff from God. The purpose in prayer is to have fellowship with him. The word fellowship is not Kool-Aid and cookies at somebody's house. It's the interaction of lovers. The second reason for prayer is to get his viewpoint on anything that pertains to us or anyone we're concerned about, so we can act by faith in his point of view. Now listen. Listen to me carefully. All your actions are based on your perceptions, whether they're right or wrong. And let me demonstrate this for you. Just stand up on the platform a minute. Now, suppose you're at the university, and this guy passes you and I say to him, you see him? He's been to prison 4 times for purse snatching. Now look, that's all you know about him. I told you that. You don't know whether it's true or false. But that's all you know about him. What are you going to do when he gets close to you? Come on. You're going to hold on to your purse, and I'm going to get my wallet. But suppose I told you he's the son of a billionaire that's really generous and likes to give away a lot of money. How would you treat him? Lord, you'd be slobbering all over the guy. Come up to my room. Let's have a meal together. See, it doesn't make any difference what's true about him. It's your perception. And in prayer, we're not trying to bring God around to our point of view. We're trying to find his point of view because we believe it's best. Thank you. Good. Now, those are the two main purposes in prayer. Now, what I'd like to do is to break prayer up into parts and then have us practice it this morning. Okay? Let's go. Now, here are the parts of prayer. Guess what number six is going to be? Come on! Listening. Now, let me show you how to remember this and show you the importance of this. Next one for us, hit it. Now look, think of the five parts of prayer as your five fingers. And think of the palm as listening, and remember this, go ahead, that talking without listening is as useless as fingers without a palm to hold and coordinate them together. Now, let me ask you all a question. If somebody came to you and had you a captive and said, we're going to cut off three fingers, you can keep any two. Which two would you keep? Everybody's doing this. Now let me advise you something. If you only do two parts of prayer, do praise and thanksgiving. You don't have to do. They're the most powerful parts of prayer. Praise and thanksgiving. But you can do all five. Okay, let's move on. Now, look. You remember I told you last night there was only one necessary thing? Let's read about it. Read this scripture out loud, please.
As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha overheard him on his hand. She asked his sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked,
now, Martha wasn't doing anything bad. She was trying to be a good host. But look what Jesus said to her. Would you read it out loud, please? How many things are needed?
One.
How many?
One.
What is it? I mean, we just read it. Back it up one thing. What was the one thing that's needed?
Listening.
Sitting at his feet and listening to his word. I didn't say this. Jesus didn't say this about any other. And like I told you last night, when you think that Mary had been a prostitute and she'd come that way, it gives us hope for everybody. Okay, now let's move on. Now, I want to take you through these five exercises and have you practice them. Giving thanks is a good exercise, number one, because God really likes it. And we all have to out to please God. Number two, because it causes you to focus on the good. Number three, because people are blessed by this. I dare you, like I did last night, to start thanking your parents. Write them a few notes. Don't ask them for any money. Just thank them. Hey, I dare you. Hey, aren't you grateful? Do you know that one eye bank in America gave away 30,000 eyes, and only two people wrote and said, would you thank the relatives of the donor for giving their eyes so we could see? 2 out of 30,000. The next thing is this. You develop an attitude of gratitude, which is a characteristic of a godly person. One of the ways you know a person is godly is they're grateful, because God is good. God is good. You all want to drag this out, you can. Okay, good. Now, what I'd like us to do, let's go. I'd like us to practice this. Now, every time you're going to say out loud, Heavenly Father, I thank you for it. I'm going to give you a subject, and you're going to pick your part of the subject and give thanks. Okay? Now, look, if I don't see you doing this, I figure you want to lead us, and I'll get you up front. Okay? Good. Look, I'm near the end. I probably never see you guys on this side of eternity again. Okay? Good. So, just try to cooperate. Okay? Hey, open your mouth and say something. Look, remember this. Thanksgiving is thanksgiving. You can't give thanks till you give it. Okay, put up the first one. Let me explain it to you. Now, a recreation you enjoy. If it goes something like this, Heavenly Father, I thank you for golf. Now, I don't like golf, but I'm just giving you an illustration. Okay, good. You pick out a recreation you enjoy and thank him for it. So, out loud, everybody, let's go.
Heavenly Father, thank you for golf.
Number two. a service that government provides. Hey, have you ever thanked God? We gripe about government all the time. Think of the thousands of services that government provides. The police, the stoplight, the regulation so people can't rip us off in the grocery stores with bad food. Okay, just pick a service that government provides for which you are grateful. And let's go at it. Next one. Good. A person in your church for whom you're grateful. You just go something like this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Bill. Okay? What I'm trying to show you here is the scope of thanks. In everything, give thanks. Okay, let's go.
Heavenly Father,
thank you for my Father. Next one. A possession that makes life easier. Are you hearing me? Hey. We're a blessed people. Okay? Think of something that makes life easier for you. Okay, let's go. Okay, next one. A body part that's working well. Now look, hey. Do you know my oldest son would like to be able to thank God for a good liver? He has hepatitis C. Do you know that millions of people would like to thank God for eyes? I'm just trying to show you how many things we've got to be thankful for. Okay? Pick something that you're glad is working real well. Okay? And let's give thanks for it. Be specific in your thanksgiving. Let's go. Next one. We're going to do 11 of them. Hit it hard. Okay? A school official. Hey, pick out some. Look, nobody is perfect. Pick out somebody at the university that you're grateful for. Somebody in high school that taught you. That was a blessing for you. And name them before God. Write and say, God, I thank you for sending so-and-so. Okay, let's go. Next thing. A time of year you enjoy. Isn't it beautiful? I tell you out there, may God imprint these scenery in our minds today. You know, a guy from Florida really likes this. Are you and me? Okay, pick out a time of year that you enjoy and give thanks God for it. We've done that one. Let's go to the next one. I don't know why I put it in time. A promise of God to you. For those of you who don't have one, Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call unto me and I'll answer thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, just quote a promise. God's given us all kind of promises. Let's go. 10. A family member. Name them. Dad, Mom, hey. Give thanks to God for them. And just say, Heavenly Father, thank you, my dad, my aunt, my uncle, my mom, whatever it is, my sister. Okay, let's go. Now, wait a sec. This next one you're going to have a real problem with till I tell you. And then you're going to do it with gusto. Okay? Do you know there are a group of people in Louisiana, in Carville, Louisiana, who go to bed every night, and when they pray, they say, God, please give us pain. You know who they are? They're lepers. A leper is a person whose body no longer communicates pain. A leper can put his hand on a stove that's hot, and he'll just leave it there. There's no signal. Pain is a signal that something's going wrong, has gone wrong, could go wrong. A leper can run and break his leg. He'll just keep running. He doesn't know he's broken his leg. Would you like to be without pain for the rest of your life? Why don't you thank God right now for the capacity for pain? Let's go. Say, you can be grateful for everything. There's a reason why God allowed you to have pain. Okay, why don't you? This is a very important part of prayer, thanking. The psalmist found out, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now, let me tell you the difference between praise and thanksgiving. Okay, let's go. You thank a person for what they do, You praise them for what they are. Eulogies are praising people. What you saw a while ago was this woman being praised. Listen. I don't know about you. Normal human beings like to be praised. It does something for you. It lifts you up. I mean, hey. You know why we're like that? Because God's like that. Now, stand up a minute. I'll show you how you do this. I want to thank you for where you kept my clothes over the years. That's thanks. You've been so faithful. I just love you for it. Thank you. That's praise. Are you with me? Hello. Hey, thanks is here. Praise is here. Now, let me show you why praise is a little bit harder. To give praise requires a little more thought, for now you're thinking about character rather than action. Are you with me? You have to think, why has she taken care of my clothes for 48 and a half years? Why? Dirty socks. By the way, I read a story. This woman said, my whole home was changed. And it began one day when my husband came home and said, you know, I've got a magic drawer. Every time I open it, it's full of clean underwear and socks. She said, I was in a state of shock. There's something wrong with him. The next day he said to her, I want to thank you for filling 9 out of 10 check stubs right. The teenage daughter said, Daddy has gone bonkers. He just started thanking the people in the home. And the woman testifies that her home was completely transformed by one action of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise. Okay, now, let's get to be praised. Here's what's necessary. It must be sincere. Insincere praise is called flattery. Now, people who never have any praise, even bad praise is better than no praise. Like bad food's better than no food. But hey, God doesn't give in to flattery. Okay, it must be sincere. Okay, number two. It must be personal. It must be directed at somebody. Look, if you're not singing hymns of praise to God, you're not praising. You're just singing hymns. That can make you feel good. Just singing can make you feel good. And thirdly, it has got to be vocalized in some way. I don't care what you feel about a person. Till you tell them, it doesn't do one bit of good. Okay, now let's practice this. Now, let's go. Let's give a praise to the Father. Now, I wrote this up. This is called canned praise. Okay, let's go. Now, let me say this to you. Do you know why the card business is so big? It's because somebody has found a better way of saying it than you do. So, hey, Valentine's Day come and you go down to the card rack. You say, wow, this is how I feel. I didn't think of it. And you buy a card, right? Is that right? I mean, big business. Now look, hymns, you can write up a praise, or canned praises. I like to get praises that express what I feel. Some choruses, some hymns, some of them they sang this morning. I think, that's how I feel. That's what I'm saying to you, God. Okay, now, I wrote this one up. I think it's, anybody could do it. Let's give praise to God right now. Let's go. Okay, let's go. I don't know about you, when I get a card, I like what's written on it. But what I always look for is what the person wrote on the bottom. Personalized praise. Let's move on to this. Now, go ahead. Now, I want you now to sign off on what you just said. I gave you a card to give to God, and you gave it to God, but I want you to sign it. And how's that? If God said to me, okay, you love me, tell me why you love me. And I want you to say out loud now, Heavenly Father, I love you because you're so. But look, your experience of God, remember, it's got to be sincere, not just picking words. Because God knows your heart. I wish I'd bought it this morning. I carry around in my briefcase some letters. One's written by my daughter in Atlanta, and it is entitled, Number One Dad. And then I have some in the most awful writing, the most awful English. Spelling is absolutely atrocious. Horse is spelled H-O-S-E. Written by one of my grandchildren, saying, Papa, I love you, thank you. You see, I don't expect a six-year-old to praise in the same way of a 36-year-old. You know, in your home, your mother hung on your refrigerator door some of the most god-awful art that you have ever seen in your life. You know why? Because when you were in kindergarten, you drew a picture, terrible art, and you wrote something on it. She wouldn't get rid of it for $1 million because her little child loved on her. That's how God feels. I don't care whether you're a brand new Christian or you're 30 years old. You're going to praise God in different ways. I want you to praise him now. In just what one thing you know about him, would you do it? Out loud. Okay. Now, I don't know about you. When I tell somebody I love them, if I tell her I love her, she doesn't say anything. Did you hear me? I love you. I'm expecting a response. Have you noticed that the only response that love wants is love? I say, I love you. I don't want to say, well, I'll wash your clothes again. Hey. Now look, here's where listening comes in. Let's go. Now, I want you to ask your Heavenly Father this question. One of the ways to learn to communicate with God is asking him questions, relational questions. I've had a couple of the guys have come to say, teach me how to listen to God, and I've suggested that they do this. Write out questions. And after a while. Now, you're going to pray right now. When all else fails, follow instructions, okay? Heavenly Father, or Father, please tell me how much you love me and one thing you really enjoy about me. Now, let me tell you what to do. For God's sake, just let me help you. Do you know why we close our eyes when we pray and get still? So nothing will distract us to the still small voice on the inside. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that prayer and close your eyes, and I want you to remember what comes to your mind, no matter what it is. Now listen carefully. If some of you get a picture in your mind, I'm going to ask you just to hold up your hand to indicate that you got a picture. Usually, when people talk to God like this, 10 or 15% get pictures. And I'm going to explain to you why. And why I have, God speaks to me very seldom in pictures. And I'll explain to you why. But I want you to go ahead and do this right now. And just remember exactly what comes to your mind. Okay, let's go. Okay, look up this way. How many of you saw a picture in your mind? Hold up your hands real high. Come on. Okay? I wouldn't say that's 10. Let me tell you what you just had. You had a vision. God speaks, especially to right-brained people. A right-brained person is like an architect, an artist, an interior decorator. They think in terms of pictures. Are you with me? They'll walk into a room and they'll see it. That's called a vision. God speaking to you with a vision. No big deal. God speaks to people with words. I'd like 5 or 6 of you to stand up and tell us what God said to you about either how much he loved you or one thing he enjoyed about you. Just stand up and tell us now. Come on, let's get some quick cooperation, okay? Well, I guess we'll have to use army style. Come on. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you very much. That's God. Now, God's not a computer, so everybody won't get that answer. Are you with me? Okay, somebody else tell us. Come on.
I have a picture of a mother with her baby.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else.
I got a picture of my hand with sand in it with
all the sand grains come up.
What does that mean to you?
Well, he just, like, it says in Psalms, he loved us like the sand of the...
Okay, see, God spoke to him in terms he could understand. That wouldn't have meant a thing to me, are you and me? Hey, look, I'm dead serious. I'm trying to explain to you. God knows what you understand. Listen, hearing from God is the easiest thing in the world if you want to hear from God, because God wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to him. Okay, two more people. Come on. Boy, I thought university students would be jumping all over the place. Thank you, Dale. Thank you. One more. Let's have this section. You've been dry. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay, come on. What is she said in it?
Smiley face.
Smiley face. I don't have any doubt that's God. See, get away from the idea that God is always speaking, take a boatload of Bibles to China or something like that. Okay, good. Hey, listen, when you love on a person, you want to tell them how much you love them. So, I'm showing you how to mix it all up now in prayer. I'm telling you. And then these things. Okay, next thing. Okay. Now, confession. In the Greek, when you talk to a Baptist about confession, I know a lot of you are Baptists, the next word they think of is sin. Confession is to say the same. Now, one of my daughters came to me in her 40s. And she said to me, "You promised to pay my way in college." I said, "When?" She said, "Ask mother." It was back when she was 19. Now, she had me behind the eight ball. Are you and me? She was just saying to me what I'd said to her years before. If you've got any integrity at all, when somebody comes to you and says, "You said," you're going to carry it out. So I want us to make some confessions right now. Okay? First one. Let's go. Now, go on. We're going to make a confession about God. God says he's our Father. We're his child. We're precious and beloved. He promised he'll take care of us all the time. I'll stay in your love and he'll never forsake us or leave us alone. So, let's say that out loud with some gusto now. Come on, cooperate. Let's go. Now let me show you how this would work. You've got a big test coming up at the university. And you have studied as much as you know how. And you're scared. You've done your best to get ready for it. Say, "Father, you said I could do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I'm facing this test now and I'm expecting you to give me the strength." Let's try one other thing. Let's say you're a little short on money because you don't have rich parents and tuition is coming up due. And you know beyond any shadow of a doubt God sent you to the university. Heavenly Father, you said you'd supply all of my needs according to my riches in glory. You told me to come to the university. I have to pay my tuition fees. I'm expecting you to show me how you plan to surprise us. This is where the miracles come through. You're saying back to God some of the things he said to you. Now, I want you to say a confession about yourself. You're going to like this one. Now, click one more time, then we're going to go back to this. When we come to the end, this is how you're going to do it. Now, and take that finger. "I am an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth as a person." That comes to first. "I am an original. One of a kind. Really somebody." Then you're going to look somebody in the eye and say, "So are you." See, you are. Listen, if you can see your potential in Jesus, there's nobody like you in the whole entire world. Now, let's back up and just take a look at it before you confess it. Let me read it to you and then I am an awesome spirit being. See, you're really a spirit being living in a little house for a while. And listen, remember that picture I showed you of me and my wife 50 years ago? It goes by real quick. You're going to be an old fogey like we are before long. Be nice to the old fogey, so when you get that way, they'll be nice to you. Okay, good. "I'm an awesome spirit being, a magnificent worth of a person in Christ. I'm deeply loved by God. I'm fully pleasing to God. I'm totally accepted by God. And when my person is expressed through my performance, the reflection is dynamically unique. There's never been another like me in the history of mankind. Nor will there ever be. And then you get, remember that finger. If you don't do it, I'm going to call you up here. I promise you, okay? Get that finger. Okay, okay. You ready? Let's go at it. No, back up, back up. Let's start here. Now look, if you don't do it good sitting down, I'm going to have you stand up. We're just going to keep doing it until we do it with some gusto. I mean, hey, we're saying to God what he has said about us. Let's go. Okay, get that finger ready. Let's go. Okay, let's go. I am an original, one of a kind, really somebody, and so are you. Don't you feel better already? Hey, I tell you what, that's true. Okay, let's move on. Now, I want to hit the next one. Good. I want you to make a personal confession right now. That's general. A personal confession is, Heavenly Father, I'd like to remind you of your promise that. Now, if God hasn't given you a promise, you can't do it at this time. But for those of you that God has given a promise to, just say, I would did like it. Heavenly Father, I want to remind you, you promised me you're going to give me a first-class wife. Hey, or a godly husband. Look, if God has given you any promise, I remember when I'm praying for this son of 30 that's just coming back to God, I remember the day standing in the bathroom shaving when God spoke to me and gave a promise. So when I pray for John, I said, remember what you told me that day in the bathroom? I'm just reminding you. Now look, let me give you a warning. When God doesn't put a date on something, don't you? Are you with me? You'll be disappointed. God didn't tell me when he was going to come back to him. God said, that son is going to come back to me and he's going to be a blessing to humanity. And so when I pray, I said, well, I just want to remind you. You promised. Okay. Instead of saying this out loud, just say it quietly right now to God. And see, you do this regularly in prayer. Remember when Jesus gave the Lord prayer, said, give us this day our daily bread, he was planning on us praying daily. Somebody look at the time and see when I'm supposed to close this thing down. I mean, according to schedule. 10:45. Huh? 11:45? Okay, good. Let's move on. I can do a lot in 18 minutes. Okay, good. Now, confession also has to do with sin. The wrong things we have done against God and our fellow man. To confess them means to agree with God that they're wrong. Now, I say, God, forgive me for speaking nasty to my wife, but I wouldn't have done it if she hadn't said that. That is not a confession. Are you with me? God, see, I've had some practice with this, so this is easy. I really am sorry I spoke nasty to her, and as soon as I get through with her, I'm going to ask her to forgive me. Okay, let's go on. Now, here's an important checkpoint in praying. Nothing hinders prayer as much as sin, the sin of unforgiveness in our own heart. Now look, why don't you add the hardest sin that Jesus was against was not abortion, murder, adultery, incest. It was against our refusal to forgive other people who have hurt us like he forgave us. A good prayer to pray, and some of you won't have time to catch up on this right now because we can't wait here for an hour. Are you with me? I mean, you haven't done this in so long. But a prayer would be, Heavenly Father, are there any people I've not forgiven? Is there any sin I've not taken care of yet? And look, once that's out of the way, it's much easier to pray. And have, you know, if someone is offended, it's hard to have a good conversation with them. So why don't you just pray that prayer right now? Some of you already know some of the answers, but go ahead and pray that. Get God's view on sin. Now, I'm just introducing you to stuff. Remember, it's a seed. Now, remember this after you've done that. Next one for us, brother. Thank you. He said this. Would you read it out loud? So when you go through this and you say, my wife's life turned around. I told you about the incident. But before that, God had to make her make a list. She was angry at me. But she was one of those people that stuffed it down. And she stuffed too much. And so she had to say, I'm angry and bitter at my husband. And I'm this. I'm fearful. When she got through, she said, God forgive me. And he forgave and gave her a clean slate. And then the next day he filled her with the truth. Okay, let's go on. The fourth finger in prayer is intercession. Intercession is asking God to bless other people. A prayer for all nations. This is something that really pleases him because you're seeing you're not being selfish. It has to do with the first word in the Lord's Prayer, our. Have you noticed the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer? Not me and mine. It's us and our. That's very important in praying. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, let me give you some suggestions in intercession. The best intercession is personal. Look, if you only pray for one other individual a day, that means you pray for seven a week. And if you have a list, you can remember who to pray for. Let me tell you the kind of praying that doesn't do very good. It's called wholesale praying. You're the greatest. Thank you for everything. Forgive all my sins. Bless everybody and give me everything I want. Now, what have I left off? That doesn't do much good. Retail praying is praying for John Brown and the struggle he's having because his girlfriend just dumped him. So be personal, okay? Secondly, be definite. None of my kids ever came to me and said, Daddy, bless me. They told me exactly what kind of blessing they wanted. I need a car. I need money. I need this. Hey, tell God what you want for the other person. Ask God to bless them. God, I'm asking you to bless Bill with a car because he needs one. Okay, third. Listen so you can cooperate with God if he wants to be a part of the answer. God, let me show you how this works. I pray for Widow Jones. She just lost her husband. Would you give her some comfort? God says to me, yeah, I will. I want you to spend an hour with her. Are you with me? See, prayer is not dumping all your requests in God's lap and then running about doing what you want to do. You have to be willing to be a part of the answer. Okay, let's go. Now, this is how I pray for my wife, for instance. I'll give you an example. For my son, right now. Father, I want to thank you for Richard and the peace you gave him. Look, he took hepatitis C treatments, chemotherapy, all of 1999. When he went back to the doctor a few weeks ago, the doctor said they didn't work. You still got it. You can imagine what a shock it is to a 47-year-old man with five kids. So he did a very wise thing. He said, I'm not going to tell my wife till I get peace from God. And he went into God and spent time with God and the peace settled on him. This all happened since the first of the year. Then he told his wife. He's a very gentle person. And so that's the sort of prayer. I'm mixing it all up. I've only divided it to show you the parts. They have breakdown. The recipe for good praying. But that's how you put it together for a person. Okay, let's go on now. That part. Okay, go on. Now, let's put this into practice. I want you to pray for four people now. Number one, I want you to pray for a family member who's doing well. There's nowhere in the Bible that tells you to pray for lost people. I think we should. There's one place that tells you to pray for backsliders. Most of the prayers in the Bible are for people doing well. I want you to pray right now a blessing on a family member. Ask God to bless them in some way. Go ahead and do it right now. For any family member. Okay, the next one. And you remember, I'm sorry I'm having to go so far. I want you to pray for a fellow believer who is doing well. Somebody in this room that you know is doing well spiritually and ask God's blessing on them. So go ahead and pray for somebody right now. Okay, third one. For a fellow believer who is having a hard time, it might be a girl who just lost her boyfriend. It might be somebody who lost their mom or dad. Look, if you're a sensitive person, this world is full of hurts. You ought to know somebody is having a hard time. Some fellow believer that's having a struggle. Maybe it's somebody that's struggling with studies and could flunk out of the university. Somebody that might need money. It can be anything. But just pray for somebody that's having a hard time and ask God to meet that need in their life right now. Go ahead. Okay, fourth one. Just pray for somebody that you'd like to see become a Christian. God, would you say, God, would you call, thank you for saving me, and I'd like you to save somebody. And just name them before God, a specific individual right now, would you? Now look, please understand, I'm rushing this because we're in here. And everybody will travel at a different speed. Are you with me? Start praying for people. God loves it. I love it when my children come to me and say, Dad, would you help this other kid? They're in need. I just get excited because they're not being selfish, okay? Now, the little finger. Let me promise you that if you pray right, your little finger is going to be the things you ask for yourself, because God's going to give you more than you got sense to ask for. Now, let's go. Now, there's a great danger in thinking you have no need. That's one of the churches in the Revelation that God wasn't happy with. Okay, let's go on. Now, let me show you levels of petition. Hit it hard. Let's go. Okay, next one. Here are some levels of need. I'm going to go over these now, so just take a look at them, and I'd like to go over them briefly, because I want to end with us praying about this. Next one. Now, spiritual needs have to do with your relationship with God. Maybe social needs have to do with your relationship with other people. Hey, let's say that you're having a fuss with your mom right now, not getting along with your parents. You might want to say, God, I need to get along good with my parents. Or let's say that you and your roommate are at odds. Let's say, hey, you need a boyfriend. That's okay to pray for. Hey, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Look, God is not enough. We need each other. You might need a real friend. Everybody needs a real friend. That would be a social need. It might not be a bad relationship. It might be the need for a good relationship. Next one. I call these soul needs. They have to do with our inner and real person. Emotional needs, mental needs, volitional needs. Look, most men that I know need to pray to have the ability to tell their children that they love them. That's an emotional need. Some men have terrible tempers. They need to pray that that will be controlled. A mental need doesn't mean you're sick. It means you need some wisdom. You need some guidance. And a volitional need means I'm weak-willed. I know I ought to pray, but I'm not just doing it. God, would you do this for me? Okay, next level. Physical needs. God still heals, folks. There's a verse in the Bible that says this. This is one way God heals. Any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It works. There are other ways. There's some of you in here that today might need to pray for physical healing. That's okay. Look at when people Jesus physically healed. Why did he leave out all in the Bible if it's not for today? And then, next one. Their material needs. Look, there's some. Look, in America today, you almost have to have a car to survive. We do not have a good transportation system in most cities. In Europe, you can get by without a car. In some big cities, you can. But hey, your need might be a car. A material need might be money for tuition. A material need might be money for clothes. You might not have enough clothes. You might have come out of a poor situation. It's okay. God promised to meet how many of our needs?
All.
Okay, all. They include all of these areas. Next one. Let's move on here. Now, look. God is a good parent, supplies many of our needs without us asking for them. But for some needs, he seems to desire our cooperation. Now, let me say this to you. It's okay if you need a car to ask God for a BMW if... Next one. You can take no or wait for an answer. Because that is an answer. He knows what's best for you. I very seriously doubt that God's going to give most of you a BMW or a Mercedes or whatever you happen to think, is it? You might need a car, but he might. I don't know. You can say, God, I want a BMW. He said, hey, I'm not going to give you that. I'll give you this. But ask him about your needs. Okay, next one. Now, let me ask you something. What one thing, and we're getting ready to close, would you ask God for, I have five more minutes, if you were really honest about your desire, what would you ask God for? If right now, if God said, come to me and ask for anything, what would you ask for? For those of you that don't know, I'd like to use an illustration. Get the girl in the end to come down and see me. Sit beside you. I want you to hold that hand real hard. With both hands. Now, I want you to shake it real hard.
Shake it?
Shake it. Come on, shake it. Okay, good, good. Now, let me ask you something. Why did water come out of the glass?
There's not a lid on it.
And, right?
I shook it.
You shook it? Let me tell you why water came out of the glass, because I want to teach you something. Water came out of the glass because water was in the glass. Now listen, God sends people along to shake us. Because what comes out of you when people shake you is what's in you. No girl can make a boy lust. She can just shake up the lust in him. Thank you, dear. Nobody can make you afraid. They can just reveal the afraid. Nobody can make you angry. They can just shake out the anger in you. Now, for those of you that don't know what to pray about what comes out of you when people shake you. What comes out of you when your dad says something to you? Or your mom says something to you? Hey, what comes out of you? Does something rise up inside of you? Rebellion? Hey, that's just a good thing to pray about if you'd like to be godlike. I'm just saying for those of you who don't know anything to pray about. Okay? Now let's look at the next one briefly. Now look, here's a question. Two questions we're going to end with. First question, Heavenly Father, what is one thing you've been saying to me during this conference? Now look, my advice to you is, find the next step and take it. You can't take in everything. Ask God, what is my next step? Are you with me? Hey, what do I do? What do I do? You take that step and he'll give you another and another and another and you'll progress. So I'd like you just to ask God right now, if you're a Christian, God lives in you. What is the thing you've been saying to me during this conference? What action do you want me to take so as to please you and cooperate with you? Go ahead and pray that. Now we have one more prayer to pray and we'll get through in time. I'd write it down to you when he tells you. Now, listen to me carefully. If you don't do what God tells you, your heart becomes harder, you'll have a harder time hearing him. If you do it, you'll be more sensitized. It's important that you start taking the next step as quickly as possible. And here's the last question. Heavenly Father, what is my greatest need at this time that you desire to meet? Remember that God gives grace to the humble but resists the proud. So I want you to get this, and I don't want to tell you how we're going to end this meeting. Okay, so go ahead and ask God that question now. Okay, look this way. Now look. In here today, in a very real way, we're the body of Christ. When that finger has a need, this hand comes over and rubs it. That's church life. Are you with me? When my leg scratches, itches, my hand goes down and scratches that. Now, one of the things I want to say to you, and I want you to get this, your prayers, if you believe in God and trust Christ, are as powerful as any person's in the world. It's not professionals praying. It's the member of the body's praying.